Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It feels like eons ago, doesn't it? The Super Bowl, amazing sporting event. I loved it. It had huge ratings, and the Chiefs and Andy Reid, such a sentimental favorite. Patrick Mahomes and his dazzling display of skills. Just so many cool storylines, not to mention the fourth quarter comeback against the Niners. But gosh, it's almost hard to transport myself backward into that dimension. It was just over 4 months ago in Miami. We were there for Super Bowl week. And while the entire world has not changed, spring still sprung all over the United States in places where there are actually four seasons and colder months. The sun comes out, even if we don't see it every day, it still comes out every day. The days are getting longer as we get toward the summer solstice. Trees are green again. Flowers are blooming, including the ones in my own backyard. Yay. I mean, life goes on. It does. Not everything has changed. But goodness, have we packed a lot of drama into this spring? And I don't mean that tongue-in-cheek. I mean, it's been dramatic. Very. People keep writing to me, family and friends, texting me, emailing me. I'm so happy for you. Sports are coming back. I mean, you know, we're still doing the show. In case you hadn't noticed, we're still here. We're still here. Dave, tell me that was funny. I need someone to tell me immediately that that was funny.
I'm laughing in the control room. I'm the only one in here, but I'm laughing.
So that makes two of us. Good. Thank you. By the way, did you try your peanut butter burgers yet?
Not yet, but I informed my wife that it's on the menu for the next couple days so she can mentally prepare herself. I'm not sure how she feels about this.
I'm with you. And did you hear, of course you did, because even when you're not in the control room, you're listening. But did you hear we also recruited Bob Uesler to do the peanut butter burger challenge with us? So we now have Chris, we have Andrew Bogish, you and me. We started it, of course, and we've got Bob alongside with us. So at some point, now it's no particular date by which this has to be accomplished, but I'm thinking it's nearly summer, it's burger season, so maybe before the end of June, each of us will have to report back. What did you think of Chris's challenge that you couldn't finish the whole burger with the peanut butter?
Come on now.
That's what I thought.
There's nothing that's ever been put in front of me that I can't eat or won't eat. And it's just, I don't believe I'm going to enjoy it, but I will absolutely finish the whole thing. There's no doubt about that.
No one's wasting a good burger.
No, I could see if it's that bad, I'll scrape off some peanut butter and I'll keep going.
I think it's going to be delicious. I think that all these peeps can't be wrong. But we'll find out. The peanut butter burger challenge, actually, if you are one of those people who's never tried peanut butter on a burger, if you think back to our Twizzler Tuesday show, we were asking you craziest toppings you've ever put on burgers. And I can't tell you how many people, probably 40 to 50 of you responded that peanut butter was delicious on a hamburger. And so we've agreed as the group of people people who work on the show that we will, in fact, try it. And if you've never done it, we would encourage you to do it as well in the month of June, the Peanut Butter Burger Challenge, and report back on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact the team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you.
You're the colonel. You're going to command your troops tonight. You understand?
Have the off-season blues?
Blake Bortles delivers to his tight end.
Mariota drop. Fires downfield. It's caught to the five!
About the Hail Mary from Winston.
He's to the five. He's in for the touchdown.
What a play by Manning.
Rodgers.
In the end zone. It is caught for the win.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
It's been a while, huh? Matt Ryan holding a big Zoom conference call with reporters this week. Super Bowl MVP Patrick Mahomes did an interview with a station in Kansas City, and also Philip Rivers doing his first Zoom conference call as the Colts wrap up their virtual meetings as part of OTA. So kind of cool to dive in with some QB news. And of course, it doesn't matter what team, what quarterback, they're all getting asked about what's happened in our nation in the last 2 weeks and how the NFL, with its high-profile stars who have major platforms, can be part of the solution moving forward. And Matt Ryan, very eloquent in how he talked about not just his role, but what needs to change.
Part of responding now is acknowledging that, you know, what I've done up until this point hasn't been good enough. I can't really change what I've done up until this point. And I do, you know, feel like I wish I would have done more, but I can change and I can be better moving forward. And I think, that's more of where my mindset has gone to is to not just sit on the sidelines and silently, you know, have people's backs. I think it's the time has come where silence isn't good enough. That's what I'm hoping to do moving forward, hoping to make an impact moving forward. But I certainly feel like up until this point, I haven't done a good enough job.
At Ryan, the leader of the Atlanta Falcons locker room, and to hear their leader express himself that way, hey, I haven't done enough. My silent support wasn't enough. I'm already thinking about what I can do moving forward. And as he's speaking, what I'm thinking is it's never too late to do the right thing. It's never too late to make a change. Time has passed, and we all have regrets in our lives about everything, personal, professional. We all have moments we wish we could do differently. But this is another opportunity for the NFL and athletes around the country to make changes that maybe they wish they had made in the past. Now, the question has been out there, what about Colin Kaepernick? Should the NFL make a personal statement to him? Should the NFL apologize like Malcolm Jenkins is requesting? Should Kaepernick be back in the NFL?
And as far as, you know, Colin being back in the league, I think he should have every opportunity to. You know, he created awareness for a situation. You know, people, it's taken some time, but people are becoming, you know, more active in terms of their response to it. And so I think from that standpoint, his protest is being heard at this point. It might have taken too long. And, you know, but I think he should have every opportunity to have a job and to have a spot in this league.
What a difference a few years can make, right? The question then becomes where? Where would Colin Kaepernick end up? We still have Cam Newton, who's without a job, a former NFL MVP himself. For the first time in a long time, it seems like we have more quality quarterbacks than we do job openings. Certainly, at this point, there are no starting jobs open. The teams have all kind of moved forward with plans, even those who are transitioning to younger quarterbacks and different eras at that position. So where? That's a question that if there are teams around the NFL who are considering. But Malcolm Jenkins made the point on CBS this morning that the NFL could assign Kaepernick to a team. We know that's not happening. That's not realistic. The league can't tell a team to make room under its salary cap to bring a guy on board. It doesn't work that way. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I've seen some of my colleagues, including the great Gil Brandt, a Hall of Famer, an incredible football mind, post or talk about how they're losing followers on social media left and right. It's happened to me. It's fine. Who cares? But he mentioned something about losing 600 plus followers and not having any idea why. But there are a lot of people out there who do not want their sports to mix with anything that's hard or difficult or challenging or uncomfortable or social or political. And I respect that from you. If what you want is sports to be straight entertainment, well, some of these conversations are not entertaining. They're difficult. They're hard. They're heavy. And like many others, I'm hearing the adage, stick to sports. Well, in 2020, I laugh because what sports would you like me to stick to? Exactly. But Patrick Mahomes is hearing the same thing. This is the Super Bowl MVP who's hearing the same thing. Stick to sports. And he delivered his response on 610 Sports in Kansas City.
You're people too. And I feel like those people have kids and they understand that their kids can play sports and their kids could possibly be in the same position that we're in. And they would want their kids to show their heart and show who they truly are and try to affect the world in the most positive way possible. And that's what we believe that we're doing. And so obviously we know that not everyone agrees with everything that you're going to say. Just know that when we say stuff, we mean it and we care and we want to make the world the best place for our future kids and for generations to come behind us.
Human beings are not one-dimensional. I don't tell you to stick to teaching if you're a teacher. My mom's a teacher. I don't tell her to stick to teaching. I don't tell a plumber to stick to plumbing. I mean, we all wear a bazillion different hats. We all play a bazillion different roles in life. On my Twitter page, and this is limited only because I ran out of characters, but I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 different descriptors, roles for myself, just on my Twitter page alone in a limited number of characters. We all are a variety of things to a variety of people, which means none of us is one dimensional. We can't stick to one thing or another. It's not realistic. And the people who would say that are certainly not following that advice in their own lives. So I understand it's definitely your prerogative. If you do not want to listen to sports radio or watch TV these days, because you don't want the mix, you want to avoid the heavy stuff when it comes to your sports. But I hope that you'll rejoin us when we get back to games. It's right now, this is what's happening in the sports world, and it's important to talk about, even if it is hard. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Let's jump back to the Atlanta Falcons. Matt Ryan, haven't heard a lot from him this spring. And he was asked about the state of the Falcons when they go through everything virtually this spring.
I think the one area we're behind is probably in terms of on the field work, in terms of our units together. You know, that part is going to be the same for everybody, you know, and so we might be behind where we're at in terms of maybe, you know, where we were last year, but we're certainly not behind any of our competition.
That's true. Makes a good point. The NFL is all about its level playing field, and for now, everybody is in that same boat. One area where Matt is really excited is with the addition of Todd Gurley, essentially replacing Devontae Freeman. But he's had a chance to talk to Gurley, and Gurley has passed his physical. And so it's full speed ahead with Gurley and the Falcons.
He's extremely versatile out of the backfield. He looked great. I mean, he looked, you know, healthy and ready to go. I was impressed with that. The thing that struck me the most, though, was how smart of a player he is and his ability to retain information and you know, to not have to circle back on things the next day.
Gurley, a veteran presence, obviously comes with a fat contract, and it didn't work out in Los Angeles, though he was a major piece of why the Rams went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. And if the Falcons can get a bit of that, he can be a real weapon for them on an offense full of weapons. So Gurley changing teams, changing coasts, going from Los Angeles to Atlanta, and then Phillip Rivers, who leaves San Diego / LA after all those years with the Chargers and lands with the Indianapolis Colts, which required him to move his big family.
it's been great. Obviously, haven't really moved in a long time. The last time we made a big cross country move, it was just my wife and I and my oldest, which was 2 years old. She was 2 years old, so quite a different move with 11 of us. But the transition has been smooth. The people I've ran into so far around town have been very welcoming, and we're excited to be here. It's been a pretty week, you know. I'm getting a feel for the weather. The summers I'm getting a feel for. These summer nights have been beautiful. So and getting used to it, getting dark after 9 o'clock. It's been a little crazy. We've been out playing and look up and it's 9:05 and still light outside. But it's been a good transition so far. Still getting settled in, but our whole family's happy to be here.
Okay. When I hear Philip Rivers talking about moving a family of 11, yikes. I can barely manage a family of three, and we're only moving a half mile away. Well, they were in California, then they moved to Florida, if I remember correctly, and now, of course, landing in Indianapolis after he signs with the Colts, and they've been there a week, and a big-time move with a lot of people. I guess that means you have more hands to pack and to move boxes. No, the moving part is overwhelming, so I can empathize with Philip Rivers. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. One more with Philip, and this is in response to the criticism from last season. And when you think about the Chargers, one of the disappointments in 2019, they were a 12-win team in 18, and they made the playoffs. They won on the road in the wild card round, and were expected to build on that in the AFC West, even challenge the Chiefs atop that division. It did not work out that way. They were a major disappointment. And Philip Rivers was saddled with a lot of the blame.
It doesn't bother me. I don't care. But at the same time, shoot, we're all human. And at times, I think what may have aggravated me a little bit last year was, you know, that I just couldn't play anymore. You know, you heard that, it bothered me because I wanted to go, shoot, let's turn on the tape and watch all the good things. Yes, there were some bad plays last year. There were some certainly throws I want back, and certainly some very costly, you know, mistakes. So I own up to all those, but I just think I knew there was so much good, and I had some throws last year that were probably as good as I've had in my whole career. So I knew, so I didn't feel like I had to, you know, sell that to anyone. But at the same time, it did aggravate you a little bit, and I think that's okay. I think it's okay to be aware. I'm one of those guys that likes to be aware. You know, I don't go searching for stories and want to keep up with what everybody thinks. But at the same time, I like to kind of be in tune with what's going on. I don't really try to hide from that. I'm not one of those that doesn't turn on the TV or look at anything during the season.
Philip Rivers, we don't get a lot of the press conferences off season with him. He's generally a guy, though, that when you put a microphone in front of him and he has to answer questions, he will give you extensive answers. And it was good to hear from him. The new starting quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts. And we had talked to Nick Hardwick earlier in the week. And what did Nick say? That's my best friend. Philip Rivers is my guy. Of course, they played together with the Chargers. Hardwick, a longtime Chargers center. And he said, Rivers wakes up excited. He is so thrilled about this fresh start and what he feels like is a great fit with Frank Reich and the Colts. And already loves Indy as well. How about that? Some QB news in the middle of June. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page. Good to have you on board. We've got a group of NFL players. I'm sorry, NBA players, excuse me. A group of NBA players. Don't know how many. It's just been identified as a group, a faction, who are not so keen on the idea of being sequestered in Orlando. I say it's worth it because this could be a postseason where it's all up for grabs, regardless of who the favorites are or were. You got to throw all that out the window. So we'll talk about that straight ahead.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
NBA Commissioner Adam Silver explaining the return to play plan for the NBA. He said on his appearance on TNT, it was inside the NBA on TNT last week, that they spent weeks looking at various models. They took input from players, from coaches, from health officials. They looked at all the potential models, and they settled on a 22-team format. Not all 30, and not the least number, which would have been 16 in order to get to the actual playoffs. They decided to stick some regular season games in there because they wanted these guys to have meaningful basketball before they hit the actual postseason. And in that same interview that Adam Silver did with TNT, he said, Michael Jordan is the one who convinced us, or really was the loudest voice, that we not make the playoffs gimmicky. Yeah, sure, there are a couple of tricks, bells and whistles, to get to the 16 teams. And we're going to give those who are close the chance to play into the top eight in each conference, because there still were regular season games left where that could have happened. But he said Michael Jordan convinced them that it should be four rounds, seven game series, as close to a standard NBA postseason as possible. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Now we find out, Adrian Wojnarowski being the number one who was reporting on this, but I've now seen it pop up elsewhere. NBA players hopping on and off a big conference call that took place mostly on Wednesday, but something like a 24-hour open line where players could jump in and out and talk about the return in Orlando, their concerns, how they feel about it, ask questions. And according to Woj, while no team has attempted to back out yet, oh my gosh, wouldn't that be rich? After they took all this time to come up with the 22-team format, it would be rich to have a team back out. But as players have started to see the stipulations that get to Orlando in mid-July to open an actual training camp, and they cannot have visitors from that point until after the first round of the playoffs. Why? Well, think about the number of people involved. Even if there are no broadcasters, even if it's limited personnel, and because there's only one arena, you don't need people all over the country who are making sure the arenas are ready and running the equipment and yada, 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 cleaning it. It's a handful of arenas, but it's not all over the country. It's this one location, so they can limit the personnel. They're even limiting the number of people that can be there with the teams. I think the number Cooperstein of the Mavericks said was 25 per team, which is not a lot when you consider the rosters themselves are 15 players in some cases. Then you've got coaches, training staff. I mean, it's really limited. And so here are players starting to talk about how this is going to be tough. 7 weeks, roughly. It depends on how long the first round goes. But from the time they start training camp, and then they tip off games on July 31st, they finish up the regular season with eight games, and then they go into the first round of the postseason, and some of those could end up going seven games. These players are not sure they want to be stuck, quote-unquote, in Orlando all that time. I say it's a small price to pay. I think actually the aspect of mental toughness, the leadership, the strong voices in the locker room, the veterans who've been around the block, who've had to fight through other adversity and other challenges. It's about your chemistry and staying together. It's about how bad you want this thing. And I believe the door is open for major upsets. Not every team is going to come back in a groove. I don't know which teams are going to look different. Again, it really is about veteran leadership and the strong voices from the coaches into the locker room. But there are going to be some teams that don't come back in the same shape, either physically or mentally, who can't get around this lack of home court or no fans in the stands. They're just not the same teams. Maybe the layoff wasn't good for them. Whatever it is, it could take some teams longer to ramp up and get back into a rhythm and groove. That means there will be some upsets. You're going to see some of the championship contenders go out early because they just can't get into that rhythm and they're not ready. And it's weird and it's strange. So mental toughness is huge. And we're not talking about these guys being in isolation. They're not only going to be around their own groups all the time, but they're also going to see other players from other teams. And once they're all tested, theoretically, especially if you're at the same hotels, you're at the same arenas, you're going to see other people. The social experience will be more like a summer camp maybe, but we're not talking about solitary confinement here. I think it's really going to separate those teams that have great leadership and chemistry and are mentally tough from those who aren't, because it's not standard and it's not quote unquote normal. It's going to bring out the best in you or it's going to bring out the worst in you. And if there are players who are concerned about how they have to go 7 weeks and stay in Orlando, I mean, come on. It's been 3 months since... I know there are some places that are reopening, but so I'm speaking for me and my neighborhood. It's been 3 months, and my stay-at-home order in northern New Jersey is still in place. Our non-essential businesses, you know, like the retail stores, don't open for limited capacity until next week. We still don't know when our gyms are going to reopen. Our movie theaters are going to reopen. Thank goodness hair salons are reopening the week after that, if everything stays on track. But Northern New Jersey is in phase one. New York City is in phase one. I know there are other places around the country where they're just poking their heads out. There are a lot of people who've lived in flat out isolation for 3 months, and it's hard. I'm not saying it's easy, but I think it's worth it to go through what could maybe be 2.5 months. If you get to the NBA Finals, it's 2.5 months. And there's a major opportunity here. Sure, people may put an asterisk on it. People may say it's a fluke. It's not real. It doesn't count. Once you have the trophy in the ring, nobody can tell you it doesn't count. It counts all right. Nick Nurse, the head coach of the world champion Raptors, of course, this time last year were winning their first title in franchise history. He was asked recently about playing in a neutral site and what this atmosphere might look like. So we'll hear a little bit from him coming back.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Shams Charania, another great NBA insider, going back a few days, but he points to Damian Lillard. Now, Lillard is very respected in the NBA community on both sides of the aisle, quote unquote, with owners, with the league offices, but also with his peers. And he's among those who said, you can't just cut it off where it is, or you shouldn't. I suppose they could, similar to what the NHL did, though the NHL did make a way, this play-in tournament with 5 games in each series, that other teams could leap into a playoff spot before they actually fit the Stanley Cup bracket. In the case of the NBA, they decided to go 22 teams. Anybody on a team within 6 games of the final playoff spot in each conference, and that includes the Trailblazers, who sat 8 games. Oh, bad math. That's really bad math. Don't tell my mom. 8 games below 500, but are within 3.5 of the Memphis Grizzlies in the West. Speaking of Memphis, their longtime radio voice, Eric Hasseltine, will join us on the final show of the work week. So Damian Lillard saying, hey, there needs to be a stipulation here. Because you're cutting off the end of our regular season, some of us had 14, 15 games to go. We could have made up that ground. Pelicans, exactly the same number of games out. The Kings, exactly the same number of games out. And he's right. Now, a lot of people have pointed to, oh, this is about Zion Williamson. I don't think the NBA's mad that Zion will be in Orlando. But it's not just about Zion. And they took input from players, coaches, general managers, owners in settling on this 22-team format. Except now, you've got some athletes who are saying, I don't think this is for me. Now, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, these are his sources telling him, most of the players who are concerned about the Orlando bubble and being sequestered. So think of it like jury duty. You're sequestered. Now it's a lot larger group with whom they will be sequestered in Orlando. But it's that group alone, once you're in the bubble. And it is a long time. I'm not saying it isn't. But it's not as though they're going to be cut off from society. TVs, phones, FaceTime, video conference. I mean, it's just going to be an extension of what we've been going through as a nation this spring. Yes, many of them will have to leave girlfriends, wives, significant others, kids, parents. I got it. I still say it's a relatively short period of time and a small price to pay to win an NBA ring. And according to Woj, most of the guys who are expressing their concerns are not coming from title contenders. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The champion Raptors are looking for a chance to defend their title. And Nick Nurse, their head coach, was asked about the unique quality of this postseason where you don't have home court advantage. You don't have fans. Guys are coming off this 4-month layover.
There'll probably be some upsets. I would imagine that the atmosphere, the environment, or something will affect some teams negatively, and they may get bounced early. But I think, again, we've been through a lot. We kind of figure things out pretty good, no matter the environment. So we'll be okay.
A lot of it has to do with veteran leadership. A lot of it has to do with the character of the guys in your locker room, but also what they've seen, what they've been through in their own careers. Kyle Lowry will play a huge role, not to mention the fact that these guys just went through it last year. Now, I know different, but they had to dethrone the Golden State Warriors. This was a mountain for them to climb, one that they had done a face plant into, not Nick Nurse specifically, but the franchise itself had done this face plant over and over for the 3 years. Against the Cleveland Cavaliers, it was, but they had come up short every time. And so to finally break through and be able to reach the pinnacle of this mountain, well, they're dealing from a position of strength. Though I agree with Coach Nurse, there will be some upsets because not everybody is going to return in that same groove that we saw when the season was abruptly shut down. And the home court, I don't know that it'll bother everybody. We've seen some people we've seen some suggestions about how they can compensate for the lack of home court. So those teams like the Lakers or like the Bucks who have earned the home court and have already clinched playoff spots and have done the work over the course of a regular season, that evaporates. So there have been some kind of strange ideas about how they might make up for the lack of home court. But again, Nurse taking it all in stride.
The one thing I say is this, is we have a great record at home. We have a great record on the road that should translate very well to a neutral site. You know, I think we play, you know, regardless of circumstance, we play. That should benefit us.
There are these, as I say, weird alternatives that are floating out there about how they could create, if not home court advantage, some type of an advantage that could compensate for the fact that they aren't going to have home court. And they've already played 60 plus games. I get it. You work really hard to earn that home court. But everybody's in the same boat. This isn't the optimal solution. Does the NBA want to play in a couple of arenas in Orlando with guys sequestered and no fans? Of course not. So it's not optimal for anybody. And I don't know, you could say the teams that are giving up the home court in Orlando are getting hurt the most. You're talking about splitting hairs now. But there have been some ideas out there, ways to kind of invent a home court. So just think, again, I don't even think these are whatever passed the Board of Governors, but the first possession of second, third, and fourth quarters would all go to the higher seeded team. So they'd have the jump ball to begin the game, and then every other quarter, the higher seed would automatically get the possession. Okay, it's a little thing. This is a funny one, if you ask me. The higher seeded team could have one guy with seven fouls. So right now, per NBA rules, if you commit six fouls, you foul out. You're disqualified. But the higher seeded team would have one guy with seven fouls. So they could do hack a whoever if they wanted. An extra coach's challenge. Another idea that's out there for rewarding the higher seeds in lieu of home court advantage. And here's another one, which actually got a response from Disney, if I'm not mistaken. Now, if you don't know this, I know this because I previously worked for the company, but Disney owns ESPN and ABC. And so the fact that there was a response to this one is kind of funny. And again, this is such a strange way. What does this have to do with home court advantage? Nothing. But the teams who are higher seeds will get to pick which hotel they stay at on the Wide World of Sports property. How does that help with home court advantage or make up for losing home court advantage? It doesn't. And if I remember correctly, Disney came out and made a statement and said, "We have designated hotels. Nobody's picking anything." It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Is it just me, or does it feel like safety is not the primary concern? I'm not saying it isn't a concern, but it's not the number one concern, at least not the number one concern that we're hearing about. It's on the list somewhere, but for the most part, these guys have other concerns. Losing home court advantage, having to stay in one place and not being able to leave, or leaving at your own risk. The NBA isn't going to mandate that you can't leave, but if you leave and you get the virus and you come back, well, you put your entire team and their dreams and their goals at risk. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's sponsored by Geico. Geico's introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. Steve is listening in New Jersey. Welcome to After Hours.
Amy, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know what, just to kind of wrap up with Kaepernick, my own feelings, of course, he's been very controversial. He's been in the news for God knows how long, but I don't think that he wants to carry a clipboard. I think that he wants to be, and give him that second shot. Let him get back in there, you know, be interviewed and everything. And, there's a couple of teams that probably can use him as a starter, maybe the Dolphins or whatever. And I think, you know, just to, appease him and then the world in its own, let him just go ahead and see if he can find a fit in the NFL. The second thing I have is that I, too, just moved. All my hardware has been moved. But you know what I'm finding out, Amy? Whether I'm a hoarder or not, that's the problem I'm having. Because I got storage for 5x5. I upped it to 5x10. I think I'm becoming a hoarder. I'm keeping stuff that I probably shouldn't be keeping.
Now, are you telling me this because I'm in the process of moving?
No, I'm moving.
You're also moving.
I also moved, yeah. And I'm finding stuff, and I'm like, my brothers are like, "Hey, come on, you know, are you going to use that 5 years from now? You know, get rid of it." But I'm putting it in storage, so I went from a 5x5 unit to a 5x10. I guess I'm becoming a hoarder.
Oh, no. I mean, that's just a part of life. We accumulate different possessions, things that matter to us, maybe gifts that were given to us. I will say this, though, and I move a lot because of my career. In fact, I've had my dog Sugar since March of – did I say my dog Sugar? My dog Penny. I'm sorry. I've had my dog Penny since March of 2012. And so we're, you know, we're talking about 8 years here. And this will be the, let's see, one, two, three, fourth house that she will live in, or fourth location that she'll live in the span of 8 years. I mean, I move a lot. And so every time I do move, I tend to try to purge things, donate items, or throw items away. So that does help, as much as moving sucks. So I understand it's hard because we get older and we keep stuff. No biggie. But Steve, thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate hearing from you in New Jersey. 855-212-4227. We'll see about Colin Kaepernick. I would agree the door is more wide open now for him to be able to return, but where? That's the question. And I'm not saying so much that teams are still shying away from him or that they're worried about the distractions. In fact, they might get brownie points, quote unquote, for bringing him on board. And you're likely to have less of a media horde now because media can't show up in person. It's everything's being done over video conference call. But where, though? He would still need a contract. I don't know that there's a starting job out there for him. Things happen during the course of a season. He still needs a contract to play somewhere in the NFL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.